Check your pocket. If you're a guy, you probably have a wallet. Your keys are probably in there. And I'm willing to bet that the only other thing that you may carry is a cell phone. It is kind of crazy how dependent we are on cell phones. My wife left her cell phone at home today, and we both go in the office together with our son. If I go out to lunch, I usually invite her to join me. It's kind of nice to be able to go out for a meal without the kids sometimes. I don't have my wife's work email. I don't have her work phone number. I'm pretty sure she doesn't have my work phone number. So we had a very difficult time today coordinating lunch. She didn't join me today. And we had an even more difficult time figuring out who was going to pick up the kid, what time we were going to leave today. It was a whole thing, all because she left her cell phone at home. And that was a very long-winded way of telling you that this week's episode is going to be about cell phones. Not a specific phone, but we're going to talk about the technology that makes it work. Or I should say, the technology that will make it work, specifically 5G network access. If you're rocking a fancy new iPhone at the moment, or if you're like me, I have a OnePlus, they're all operating on 4G at the moment. So we'll get into what that means, what 4G means, what 5G means. We are primarily going to focus on Verizon and AT&T and their desire to acquire firms that are currently working with 5G bands. And I only think there's one that's commercially available. So this week, we're talking about 5G. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast Episode 67. Before we get to our main story, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 7 days. We spent an entire podcast on this last week, episode 66. But as a reminder, Foxconn is offering Toshiba $27 billion for their memory chip business. And as we discussed last week, Japan is desperately trying to stop that from happening and keeping that chip company in the country. Microsoft purchased a container orchestration company called Deese. I think it's Deese, D-E-I-S. Let's say Deese. Microsoft originally announced plans to work with Google on Kubernetes in 2014. Kubernetes is an open source container cluster manager that provides automated deployment, scaling, and operations of application containers. In February of this year, Microsoft made Kubernetes generally available on its own Azure Container Service. And to finish our acquisition news, this is the story
all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
This is the story that inspired the entire podcast this week. Also want to say thank you to John Silverwood. He's the one who also suggested this as a topic. Last week, AT&T announced their plans to purchase StraightPath for $1.25 billion to acquire access to the fifth generation band. AT&T was willing to provide shareholders $95.63 in AT&T stock, which is a pretty massive premium considering that StraightPath closed at $36.48 last week. This acquisition would allow AT&T to access StraightPath's portfolio of 39 gigahertz and 28 gigahertz licenses. Obviously, we're going to dive deeper into this in the next few minutes. So on to our main story. If you haven't guessed, 5G. Mobile telecommunication providers desperately want access to the fifth generation band. So why is 5G so important to AT&T and Verizon? Do you like fast internet? I like fast internet. I like to be able to watch YouTube on my cell phone. Until we got 4G, that really wasn't feasible. So let's talk about 4G for a second, so we have scale. You probably have 4G right now. You're probably listening to this on a 4G network right now. A 4G network will let you transport data at less than 1 gigabit per second. Now, gigabit per second is pretty fast. It's extremely fast, actually. I would love to have 1 gigabit per second transmission rates anywhere. Even your home hardwired broadband connection, you're probably getting less than 500 megabits per second. And that would be extremely fast. I'm currently getting around 250 megabits per second, and I'm paying extra for that. Back in the day when people had dial-up connections, you had 56 kilobits per second, and that used to take forever to download a picture. And then if you were lucky, you got ISDN or DSL. My parents had DSL until last year, and they were lucky if they were getting consistently 1 megabit per second down, and that was really slow. You couldn't even watch a Netflix movie with good quality video at 1 megabit per second down. TechCrunch reports that the average American has an average internet speed of 55 megabits per second, which is a considerable jump. In 2015, the average speed was 18.8 megabits per second. Sorry to go down a rabbit hole. I'm just trying to give you an idea of the speeds that most people have access to at home or on their phones. So in theory, while 4G will get you somewhere under 1 gigabit per second, the reality is you'll be lucky if you get 88 megabits per second or 100 megabits per second. That would be really fast. Fifth generation mobile networks, or 5G, is designed to have peak download speeds of 35 gigabits per second. So let's stop and think about this for a second. I just said that I'm paying my internet provider extra money to get 250 megabits per second down. And that is with a hardwired connection into my home, a physical wire underground connected to my house. With 5G, consumers can expect up to 35 gigabits per second over the air. Companies like Comcast and Verizon have been struggling to keep up with consumer demand for internet speeds. Running coax and running fiber optic cable into people's homes is really expensive. I know that in several markets, Verizon has actually discontinued Fios service, which is their fiber optic lines. So if Verizon or Comcast or AT&T can get access to that 5G band, you don't have to run any wire to anybody's house because you have extremely fast internet connections over the airwaves. I don't even want to think about how much it's going to cost, but the physical need to attach a wire into someone's home has now been eliminated, which makes 5G not only an attractive solution, it makes it game-changing. So a little bit more background on 5G. Mobile telecom providers can theoretically test 5G technology on different bands. And at some point, the telecom providers will have to agree on a standard. With all this acquisition news, it sounds like the 28 gigahertz band is rapidly becoming the de facto standard for 5G. So now that I've conveyed to you the value of the 28 gigahertz band and 5G, and I provided news that AT&T was going to pay an extremely high premium to purchase StraightPath, which is one of the only companies that have access to that 28 gigahertz band on a commercial level. There is news today that Verizon is willing to fight AT&T to purchase StraightPath to get access to that band first. Shares in StraightPath Communications jumped yesterday upon speculation that Verizon could make a counterbid to AT&T's $1.25 billion offer. StraightPath stock shot up 22% on Monday afternoon. As of Tuesday night, Verizon has not officially commented on their plans or desires to acquire or fight AT&T for StraightPath. And the question is, are they willing to pay an extremely high premium to acquire the company? And if they do decide to actually go after the company, is that the best business decision? This is going to be a short one this week, but I'm going to leave you with a question. Would you switch from your current mobile provider to get faster access to the 5G band? So if you can switch from a Verizon to an AT&T and thus get access to astronomically faster speeds on your phone, would you make that jump right away? Or would you wait until everybody got it and 5G basically becomes commoditized? I definitely want to hear from you because it's nice to get a little bit of feedback on this podcast. So if you're willing to answer the question, reach out to me on Twitter at Joey Lombardi and tell me if you would switch immediately to a new provider if that meant better access to a faster mobile band. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.